God's Word is always good. It's always a feast. It's always what we need. Amen? Thank God that you have it. I mean, you can carry this around. How many of you got a, again, you got that phone, you know, you got that cell phone, you got probably got a Bible on it. Amen? If you don't, you should. You know, I was carrying around that cell phone looking up words in Greek. You know, just because I didn't want to get up off the love seat this morning. So instead of going to the computer or going and grabbing a concordance, I just, boom, there it is. You know, you can do that. I'm telling you, these things are helpful. Amen? These things are helpful. It's a blessing. And to break open and to get into the Word and to open the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit declare to you the living Word of God. Amen? I mean, He spoke, how many know God spoke the world into existence? Amen? So His Word is powerful. His Word does what He sends it to do. His Word does what He sends it to do. And so, and it did in you what He sent it to do. And His Word in you is powerful. You declare the Word of God, and the Word of God brings forth fruit. Amen? It's like I said, Mark says the Word of God's a seed. Amen? He said some of it falls on good hard ground, and you know, the birds come and get it. Some of it falls on thorny ground, and the Word of God goes in, but it gets choked out by the cares of this world. Some of it falls on rocky ground, and you have to get those rocks pulled out to be able to allow that. And it brings up quickly, and then it burns up because of persecution. But then some of it falls on good ground. It's in the Scriptures, Philippians 3, but. It falls on good ground and brings forth much fruit. You know, if you read in Genesis that everything has a seed, has a means by which it reproduces. That's what God created in the world. Everything has a means by which it reproduces in His, as He created it to do. Men and women create themselves. All right, everything had the seed to reproduce itself in itself. How powerful is that? Is that God desired to do that? He said, it is my desire that you bring forth fruit and your fruit remains. How does fruit remain? What happens if you let fruit just sit? And you say, hey, look, I got some fruit. Look, what happens to it? Huh? Say it louder. It rots. It doesn't do anything. It just goes dead, right? So it's either got to be eaten, or you got to get some new fruit, right? All right, so fruit that remains is fruit that does what? Is with a tree or whatever the tree might be, it's a tree that continually is producing, isn't it? And so you're a tree, and He's the branch, He's the vine, you're the branch, you continually, plugged into Him, are continually producing fruit. Does the tree eat the fruit? Who eats the fruit? The world. The fruit is designed for the world. Amen? So, because the tree is already, it's got the vine just pumping through it. Amen? So, the tree doesn't require anything. The tree is always connected to the vine. I'm always connected to the vine. Even though it appears outwardly I might have a lack or a need somewhere, I don't believe that's true. I believe that I am fully, fully funded. I'm fully given of everything that I have need of. I'm okay. Amen? See, and so if you will daily rejoice and give thanks to God that daily you have everything that you need because you have trusted Him. He said, how shall He with Him also not freely give us what?
All things.
How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh, how powerful is that? And so to meditate on these things, daily is the power of God. You know, when you're getting married, you guys, when you're getting married, you're following God's plan to create in the world and to bring the world along to one more generation. That's what's happening. So it's not just about love, you know, well, we love one another, well, we're getting married. No, this is God's plan. And so then you become a demonstration of God's plan to the earth. Which is what His desire is to do. And so you are the evangelists. You are the ones who declare God in your generation. You declare God's plan. That's what marriage is. It declares God's plan. Children, the entire the entire move of a family being created and then growing up together and then those children moving on together. This is a generation that is to declare the plan and the word of God. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just preach myself excited. Amen? I'm just happy about it. Because as I remember these things, that's what causes me to enjoy coming into this place and talking to you or talking to my family or talking to the people that I come across, is because this world is dying. This world is falling away, is passing away, except for me. And you can say that for you. This world is passing away except for me. I'm the only guy with life. If I'm walking by just like Jesus, walking by, somebody can get a hold of me and get life out of me. Amen? Remember that woman who reached out and touched the hem of his garment? She reached out and touched the hem of his garment because she knew that's where the life was. And you know, people do that with you. It's because you're a demonstration of that life. Just by your testimony, just by your joy, just by your happiness. Just, you know, people are just swearing and getting mad and just, I mean, they're just down in the mouth and nothing's going right. And, you know, now granted, we do that, but we do it to the Lord. Or we do it maybe amongst ourselves to build up and encourage ourselves. But to those on the outside, we know that whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. He is faithful. He is worthy. He is good for His promise. You know, Peter, he says that God is not slack concerning His promise, as men count slackness. Well, that God, He just never comes through. You know, like Kelly was talking about this morning with the prayer. Well, where's that God? My prayer's just not being answered. No, my prayer's being answered. You know, I don't understand all the workings in it. I don't know what's going on in that car engine. You know, boom. You know, I used to know how to change a spark plug oil I could probably still pull off, but the carburetor and the points and all that kind of the distributor and all that kind of stuff. You can't even do that anymore. You know, you got to stand on your head to do it. Number one, and you can't do it anymore. But all those things are going on in that car. But I don't know how it is. I just get in, turn it on, and boom, and it goes. I don't know how God does everything. All I know is I get in, I agree with God by sticking the key in. I believe that when I stick that key in, turn that thing on, you know, it's going. And I'm going where He told me to go. I'm going where God wants me to go. And so all of those things are happening because I believe that what He told me to do, He'll finish it. What He began in me, He'll complete. Amen? All right, here, let's look at this before we just get off into rejoicing. Okay, chapter 3. He's got two chapters to go, and he says, finally. It's kind of like a sermon, isn't it? Finally, brethren. He's got another 2 hours. All right, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The last thing, if it's the last thing you do, rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Just rejoice in the Lord. If you thought, well, what now? Oh, rejoice. You know? If you ever hear yourself say, well, what now? You know what to do, don't you? You know what to do. What? What? If Grumpy comes up and starts talking to you, what do you do? Now it sounds like I'm talking to a bunch of little kids. I'm talking to me. Okay, if I'm a little kid. Is that finally, you know, if it's the last thing you do, rejoice. Get your brains out of gear, out of this world, out of looking at irritations and problems and all the things that go on and go wrong, and begin to rejoice. Amen? Just step back from all of that stuff and say, Father, I just give You praise and thank You that You're in me to will and to do of Your good pleasure. I hope you have some of these scriptures just memorized in your mind. Not because God doesn't like you if you don't memorize scripture. It's just helpful for you. Everything that God says for you to do is not a salvation issue. It's a wisdom issue. This is a good idea issue. It's like, don't jaywalk. Well, that's a good idea. Why? Because there's cars coming across that street. And there are things that God tells you not to do. Don't do two men, don't do two women. It just don't work. It's not good, it doesn't help. Nothing happens. I was just thinking about somebody Somebody gave me a scientific experiment, about a sociological experiment. You got three islands. You put 20 men on one island, 20 women on another island, and 10 men and 10 women on the third island. Come back in 50 years. Where's the society going to be? In 50 years, two of those islands pretty much just going to be full of graves. You know, we don't have electricity, we don't have test tubes and all kinds of things to circumvent God. So the only one that you're going to have a society on is the one where men and women are. What am I saying? Is that God sets certain things in place that work. If you do things that don't work, you die without any progeny. You die without anything to show for it. You die without the next generation. You don't want to die without the next generation. Amen? You want to hear the Word of God and follow what He says so that the next generation is produced. And the next generation continues to declare what? God's Word. To declare God's Word. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you enjoyed that. I did when I heard it. I thought, man, thank God. There's a declaration of God's plan. And a very practical declaration of God's plan. And that's not the only one that you could enumerate. There are so many things that God has set in place that He says, don't be drunken. He didn't say, don't drink anything. He says, don't be drunken. Why? Well, you know, you could run over people or run into a tree or, you know, lose your family or lose all your money. You know, there are certain things God says don't do. But why? Because God thinks He's kind of a cosmic killjoy. And y'all know better than this. I'm just preaching now. It's because these are certain things that will destroy you. And certain laws in the earth that destroy, that if you don't follow them, they'll destroy you. Amen? And you want to teach your kids that. And you don't want to teach your kids that in such a way that says, you know, don't do this or I'll kill you. You know, or don't do this. Because God has set that rule in the earth to bless you and to keep you from harm and to keep the gospel moving and to keep it to the next generation. Why did God create a law for His people that He knew they could not keep in order to be saved? Why did God do that? To keep the seed until the fullness of time. To keep the seed until the fullness of time. He gave a law with Moses, and in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. But if that society, remember what happened? I mean, they just went downhill. Because they disobeyed God, they disobeyed the law, and they moved into their own flesh, right? And then God brought in somebody to govern them. You ever seen that kind of thing happen? How many know we're being governed today by the government that otherwise would have been, you know, under God? Now it's just governing us because we're fools. Because we're idiots. Because we don't declare the Word of God. We haven't declared the God of heaven. You know, the nation has not declared the God of heaven. We just kind of got lazy. Amen? So the power in God's Word has not been demonstrated. And so therefore we have the government that we have. And that's the same as Babylon coming in and taking over. Right? Basically the government we have is like Babylon governing, you know, over the people of God. Anybody seen that? Huh? You read the news? But you are in Christ Jesus. So first of all, I want you to do one thing. When all these things take place, all the things are looking bad, all the things are looking troublesome, finally rejoice. At the end of your day, when you have the what would you call it? The inclination to complain. Or the inclination to give up hope. Do what? In the face of it. Right in its face. Amen? When, you know, David and Anna run into bumps in the road, you know, they're going to have to smile when I'm preaching about you. It works real well. There you go. Yeah, see. Yeah. Yeah. It kind of takes off the tension. See, yeah, we used to do that with Danny and Leah, but now we can do it with your kids. It's really fun. Yeah, I used to do it with Jordan and Robin. They don't come anymore. So that's why they don't come. Yeah, to preach about them. Amen. All right, but all these things that you're doing is that you, when trouble shows itself up, You make a choice. Because you didn't depend on David, and you didn't depend on Anna, but you're depending upon Jesus. And so when things pop up, because, I mean, there are just sins that pop up. There are just things that come up that God is working out in each one of us. And me and Janet, same thing. You know, we finally got through all of it, except for the next one. And, you know, so, but we just rejoice. I mean, you know, we just, rawr, yeah, just rawr, rawr, you know, just kind of like bark like dogs or something at each other or something. I'm kind of giving away my secret. Is that, you know, we just got to, but we laugh about it. Amen? I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to separate me from the love of God. And there's nothing you can do to separate me from the love of Janet. Nothing. And there's nothing you can do to separate her love from me. Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. There's no way, no how. Nothing. Amen? Amen. You know? Even if it did the stupidest thing, it would, you know, nothing. And it's not, you know, not going to. But thank God that nothing will destroy what God has joined together. Amen? Amen. And you have to decide that. You know, Nick and Charlene, you had to decide that. I mean, there were bumpy times. Amen? There were bumpy times. I'm sure there's bumpy times for all couples, you know. But you always, always know that God, what God joined together, he did it permanently. Amen? Now, because of murder and you know, God gave divorce, right, in the early days. You know, but now he's given grace instead. So, you know, in the law, they gave you a bill of divorcement. In the New Testament, he just gives you grace. Amen? So you don't need divorce in the New Testament. Amen? Because God just gave you grace to forgive. Amen. How powerful is that? Amen? Amen. Okay, everybody just forgive your mate. Amen. Just love them. Amen. Say, man, that's the best one for me. But how would you like to start over? Dear Lord. Who'd want to start over? You just barely got that one halfway figured out. Amen. I'd say, who wants to train a new one? Amen? Amen. Thank God. All right. Finally, brethren, rejoice. I bet y'all didn't know you could preach that long on one word. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So though we repeat ourselves, it's not grievous, it's not a problem. It's in fact safe for us to continually tell you these things. You know, we've talked about that in 1 Peter, where he says, you know, I'm going to continually put you in remembrance of these things so that after I'm dead, you will consistently have these things in your remembrance. Amen? So we continue to just repeat the same thing. If you look through most of the epistles, you're going to see the same thing. It's just, you know, in a different chapter. Amen? It's all the same stuff. You know, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, you know, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's all in there. Amen? All these things. And the thing is about it is, finally, at the end of the book, usually finally or therefore, it's just because of what he told you at the beginning is Jesus Christ in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, here's what it looks like. It's not here's what you have to do now. Right? It's not here's what you have to do. Well, okay, now that I told you about all this, make sure you measure up, shape up, make the pastor look good, make him look like he's a good pastor. Amen. No, certainly not. What happens is if you believe the front part of the epistle, that Jesus Christ is in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, is Jesus Christ was created and died and rose again and imparted his spirit to you to live in you, to show fruit through you, that's what this is going to look like. If it doesn't look like that, then you go back to chapter 1. Okay? Hope that makes sense. If you're not seeing the fruit in the last part of the epistle, go back to chapter 1. Don't just sit in chapter 4 and cry and wonder why you're not measuring up. It's because you forgot to believe. Okay? Back up to the first part. And read it again. And one of the best ones to read is certainly Ephesians. certainly one of the very best ones to read the first chapter of before you get to the end of it. That's a great example of how that works. Is that, but always go back to that first thing, what God did in you. Amen? Amen. So to write these same things to you, to me, as a pastor and as your teacher, is not grievous, but it's safe. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That is the false circumcision. That is the Judaizers, the ones who would take away your liberty in Christ Jesus. Beware of these. Those who would take away the finished work that Jesus has provided and take you back under the law. Hebrews chapter 6 says you cannot go back under the law. It's not there. Amen? It's not there. You can't go back under the law. Well, I think I'll just live back under the law, kill me a couple of bulls and goats. You know. No, Norman, just get rid of the goats. He's got goats out there at the land. I think it's just in case, you know. Maybe God will take a goat. You know, if I don't measure up. No, God will not take your goat. He likes goats. He just keeps them and feeds them. You know, he didn't kill them anymore. You know. Amen. At least not for that purpose. Amen. Because there's only one. There's only one sacrifice that he receives, and that's Jesus. And that was just only once for all. And so the sacrifice that you bring is faith in that sacrifice. Amen. And I know you're born again. I know you're born again, but what I'm saying is you bring that sacrifice every single day. Amen? You bring that sacrifice in every single day. God wants you to bring it in every... That's why we remember through the body and the blood. The body and the blood is what causes us to remember that the sacrifice that Jesus gave and made was effectual from now till the time that He comes and collects us. Amen? And for all eternity. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's one of my, oh gosh, read that again. For we are the, say this again. For we are the circumcision, say it, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, that's big. Having no confidence in the flesh. What that means? I want to read you something out of Romans chapter 1. Okay? Y'all know where that is? Y'all need a page number? Romans chapter 1. It's also good to read Romans chapter... not 1, sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And if you want some context, read chapter 7. Chapter 7, Paul's just in all kinds of trouble because he sees that he has a flesh that is just still kind of troublesome. Anybody have any flesh that's still troublesome? Amen. I know I do. Just ask my wife. Amen. Just ask Pastor Jim. All right. Now we just read that scripture right there. Hope you kept it in chapter 3 of Philippians. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we have a spirit article here. We have a flesh article here. Let's find out what Romans chapter 1 says about that. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, end of the verse. What would it be to walk after the flesh? To say, have confidence in what the flesh could do to please God or to fulfill a law. To have confidence in the flesh. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Or, back to Philippians 3:3, which worship God in the Spirit, which walk in the Spirit. So the key here is in Romans, which says there's no condemnation to those of us who have no confidence in our flesh, but have all confidence as we walk with God and worship Him in the Spirit. So condemnation comes about by those to those who attempt to please God in the flesh. But what happens is they see in themselves that imperfection and they're condemned. God doesn't condemn them. They are condemned of their own attempts to please God. And it's evident by the Holy Spirit that you are not what you have attempted in the flesh to separate. God said, do this, therefore I'm going to do that. There's a great chasm there because you are in attempting to fulfill God's will and God's purpose in your flesh. You have now separated. You basically unplugged from the Spirit in order to do it. It's kind of like having a short cord, a short little electric cord, and you're going to go back over here to the flesh and perform that, but you have no power. So you say, okay, I'm over here in the Spirit. Okay, yeah, amen. Yeah, good. Oop, boom. It unplugged. It's hanging by you. And you're over here back on the flesh side. It's kind of like you can't even start your car. Because there is some disconnect there because you forgot to just stay right over here, stay plugged in, and worship God and allow Him to produce and finish the work on the inside of you. Well, how's that ever going to happen? It's because you will begin to walk and to do without putting pressure on yourself to make that performance, to complete that. What He began in you, He will complete. So I want you every day to rejoice. When God tells you to do something or when you feel in your heart to do something, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you all the way through it, not just through, okay, go do that. And okay. Boom, you just take off. But you have no power. You have no ability to perform. Amen? You have no ability. It's hard to share this. But again, you lose the power when you walk away and attempt to do it, it's kind of like you got the assignment and you run off to do it, right? Okay? Now, that's what I want you to just say. God, what in the world was He saying? Just go pray. Go home and ask God, what in the world was Pastor David saying? What's that distinction between leaving the Spirit and walking in the flesh? Romans 8:1 is a terrific key because there's no condemnation to those of us who walk not according to our flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then you move back over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, and that gives you a context. Gives you a context for it. There's more than this. It's just this. Here's the one I'm giving you today. All right? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Please, just memorize that one. And have no confidence in the flesh. Because it's not talking about we don't have a confidence in people. We're talking about we don't have confidence in my own flesh. Okay? So when you're feeling unconfident in the flesh, rejoice. When you're feeling weak, I want you to rejoice. When you feel like you have just come to the end of yourself, that's when you're going to rejoice. Amen? When you have failed in everything that God asked you to perform, rejoice. Give thanks to Him. Thank Him for providing the direction for you. Amen? Amen? All right, some of you got business plans, some of you got house plans, some of you got home plans, some of you got plans of all kinds. When they don't work, I want you to just rejoice and give thanks to God. Amen? Amen? Do not complain, do not cry. You will, for a minute, but no. Always come back. Always come back sooner than later. Don't do this for a month, okay? In fact, don't do it for more than about 5 minutes. And get your spouse involved, amen? In times that are times of rejoicing, get your spouse involved or get a dear Christian brother or sister involved and say, slap me around, But come to me and rebuke me. reprove me if I am doing that. And I probably won't even listen to you at the moment. But I need you to reprove me for falling into unbelief. Because that's what that is. Unbelief is trusting in the flesh. Unbelief is looking at your flesh and being disappointed. Amen? You will be disappointed in your flesh, but as long as you're not putting hope in that flesh, you knew better anyway. Amen? You knew better. You knew this is not going to work. And sure enough, it didn't. So one thing the devil loves to do is kind of give you some modicum of success in your flesh, and then you start to have confidence in it. You ever seen that? Huh? Always get back to Jesus. Verse 4 said, Paul says this, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof that he might trust in his flesh, I've got more. If anybody thinks they can trust their flesh, boy, I've got some good stuff. I've got some good flesh to trust. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Anything that you have that you're going to hang your hat on as far as an ability or a strength or a something on your behalf, on your resume. Amen? Anything on your resume, just let that thing down. Let that thing go. Amen? I don't mean don't write a resume for your job. Fine, do that. Just don't trust in it. Trust God. Amen? Jordan's been working on... Oh, don't tell anybody. This message better not get out. He's been working on a resume. And you're going to do that for men, but don't put your confidence in that. You know, between you and God, just kind of snicker and wink. You know, yeah, right. Yea, doubtless I counted those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. See, how many know those things that which you think are really your best aspects are the things that are going to keep you from letting that go in order to adopt what Christ has done on the inside of you? Whatever you think you're proficient at, you'll just say, God, I don't need any help from you on that. And you may not do that, consciously. So that most of that kind of stuff happens emotionally. Is that, you know, you feel, I think I'm okay on that. You know, because you don't want to let go of what you think your strengths are, because that would just destroy and devastate you. No. Anything you have, any ability or strength you have, God gave it to you. So let Him produce in you. Let Him produce in you. From that which He's already put on the inside of you and used in you. Amen? So don't make a big... Don't qualify yourself. Don't qualify yourself. And when that comes, you say, no, that's a gift of God. And He will use that in the way that He wants to use it. Huh? Remember, you're a vessel. Say it. I'm a vessel. Amen. Praise God. Yet for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Don't you love the King James? That I may win Christ. So count, the more you count your ability and strength as in flesh as dung, the more you win Christ, and everything that He put on the inside of you can be fully utilized. How many know we use about 10% of our brain because of sin? Y'all heard those studies, right? You know, how is that the complexity of the creation that God created because of sin basically slowed you down. Because what did He say in Babel? He said, hey, God came down to check them out and said, you know, nothing that they shall imagine to do will be impossible to them. What does that tell you about the power of God that works on the inside of you? What does that tell you about that? Is that there is a power of God working on the inside of you, but God is pretty much kind of just kind of cut it down. There was a computer processor back in the 80s. And they basically, it would do all kinds of things. But what they would do is they would cripple it. Norman, you can tell me, you remember what this is. One of those 8086 IBM things. Yeah, but they would cripple it and only use half of the board, you know, so you'd have to go buy another one. I mean, the technology was there, but they would cripple it and sell it to you half for half price, and it would only do half as much. So they had two different products going on. So basically they crippled a perfectly good product in order to, you know, keep it from functioning fully. All right? So I always remember that when I think of this, is that power that God put on the inside of you, that wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding that God created you with, has been crippled because of sin. If you're going to, how could you allow the power of God to operate in a vessel that is so corrupt and so wicked and sinful? So you just got to shut that down. Why did God cut down 900 years to, you know, well, you believe in that? Yes, I do. Bible said it. Is it cut down 900 years to 70? Man, that is one sinful person. Amen? You got to keep that. I mean, that guy was going to live 900 years, and you got to cut him down to 70 years just to eliminate the idea that we're going to destroy ourselves. I mean, this world would not have lasted 10 minutes. Amen? With you having the power of God walking in sin. We just got to slow you down so you don't even figure out half the things that, you know, you could figure out. All right? So that I may win Christ. So you count everything that you have and every ability that you have as nothing. You don't quantify it. You don't put it together. And you give it to Jesus and let Him just flow through you. Amen? Don't program yourself. Let Him program you. All right? Huh? Don't program yourself based on what you think your abilities and strengths are. Let Him program you. I hope you hope you're receiving. Amen. Let Him program you. Amen? Let Him program you. Because you're trying to program yourself and it just ain't working. Now I'm going to read that again. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Everything is lost. Everything that I counted was great. And do count them but dung. In other words, I count them as dung. But that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's a lot. those four verses there, 9 through 12, are, I want you to go meditate on those. Can you write that down? You're not just going to get everything Sunday morning in 20 minutes. I'm sorry. You may have to do a little homework. All right? But you take that, so that I may be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which would have been of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that I may know Him. So if I'm having that righteousness, I may know Him. And the power. And I may know not only know Him, but in conjunction with that, the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That is His resurrection in this life. not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow afterward. So in other words, he's first, I'm afterward. He begins in the resurrection of the dead through the power of God, and then I follow after in that same power and that same resurrection. My resurrection is as powerful as his. Amen? I said, my resurrection is as powerful as his. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead raised me from the dead. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. There's power and healing in your body. But not only does it quicken your mortal body like from healing, but he also quickens your mortal body like for brains. You get smarter when you get saved. Amen? Huh? You have the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. Did you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Did you read Romans chapter 12? Read those books. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. All the 12s are good. Amen. That's the one where you get chastised. 12. Hebrews 12. That's good. Yeah. You need chastisement. You need the flesh to get chastised so the Spirit can raise up. Amen. Amen. Slow down the flesh so the Spirit can raise. That's what we do with our kids, right? That's called that little paddle called wisdom. We slow down the flesh so that the Spirit can flourish. Not as though I had attained either were perfect already, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. So that I may participate in what he redeemed me for me to participate in. So I'm casting all that thought, all those ideas that of my ability and strength off on him so that I no longer am burdened by my silly thoughts that I somehow measure up to something. Amen? But I give that all to him so that I may be fully apprehended, that is, utilized by him and enter into that resurrection power. Read that last part again. If that I may apprehend that for which I have also apprehended of Jesus. That's the kind of thing I want you to meditate on that. Brethren, I count myself, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there. That same apprehended. It's like being arrested by the police, being apprehended. See, you want to be apprehended by him. I count myself not to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do. Here it comes. You ready? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. So two things, forgetting the things behind. Don't just do that. There's a part two here. And reaching forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect from the heart, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, in other words, if anything in your mind is disagreeable or contrary to this thought, God shall reveal that to you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. In other words, the light that we have is walk in that. Let's walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Press toward the mark of the high calling of the prize of Christ Jesus. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, walk in the same way. Mark them that walk like that in that same way, so as that you have us for an example. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are some that have made shipwreck of their faith, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. In other words, they've gone off into their own things to promote for their own self-aggrandizement. Who mind earthly things. Who spend their time in the pursuit of earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. I love that one. Our manner of living is in heaven. That's what that verse means. Is our manner of living. That word conversation means our manner of living is in heaven. From where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're already there. I'm already there. For our conversation is in heaven. Our living, everything that we do, we talk about, we know, we fellowship around, is from heaven. We're living there already. Even though we live in this tent here, our heart and our mind is in heaven. That's where we live. We live in the presence of God. I live in the presence of God. Amen? How about you? Yeah, amen. You bet. All right? For our conversation is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like to His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Chapter 4. No. Amen. How do you like when the Word just describes to you your new existence? The existence that you already live in now. And you meditate on that and you thank God for it. You know, it's not about, you know, so much of Christianity is, you know, well, now that you received Jesus, behave yourself and love your neighbor. No, not only that, but that receive Jesus and love your neighbor is a part of you knowing exactly where you are loving them from. From where? From heaven. From a position of you're already in Christ. You're already in heaven. You're already walking and having a relationship with Jesus. You're not all just kind of, hey, come with us. We're going to see Jesus. Come with us. Come on. We're coming. We're going. We're struggling and struggling like y'all are. We're just struggling. I'm not struggling. It may appear to some people that I'm struggling, but it's okay because I'm not. I'm enjoying my relationship and my walk with Jesus. Amen? Because I'm not condemned at all. Well, you should be. Well, I probably should. If I was walking in the flesh and trusting in the flesh, I should probably be condemned. But I'm not. I'm believing that God has redeemed me and I'm walking in the Spirit. And I'm enjoying the presence of God. And He is transforming me from one degree of glory to the next, day after day after day. That I'm not condemned because I'm not walking in the flesh, but I'm walking in the Spirit. Doesn't mean I'm walking perfect. Walking in the flesh, remember what it meant? Is that having confidence in the flesh. So if you'll tie together Romans 8:1, and Philippians 3:3, and you look at those together. See, that's that confidence in the flesh, and that's what produces condemnation, isn't it? Amen? All right. Well, God's good. Hope you're blessed. I mean, I know I am. Amen. Father, we just rejoice and give You glory, thanks, and praise. Thank You for this Word today. Thank You for the fellowship of the saints, that You're bringing us to a place of fellowship together so that we all are declaring to one another the love of God and the Word of the Lord and the complete work that You are producing on the inside of us. And we give You glory and thanks today in the name of Jesus. Father, bring it to pass in us. Father, bring it to pass in our families. Let our families be a demonstration of the kingdom of heaven in this life. And we just give You all the glory and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.